So this month we've been talking about maintaining our true north. And I'm not sure how many of you have ever needed to use a compass. Not just to look at it, but you needed it, okay? And so we are just the fact that God has just been speaking to us, not just for this month, but this is going to be the theme for the whole year. It seems as if God's leading us in this direction where we are allowing God to dictate His purpose and His path for our lives. By faith, taking those steps according to His plan. You see, those steps of faith bring about trust in Him, brings about surrender from us, brings about hope in His word that what He says He will do. That's one important thing to learn about when you're walking with God. To know and learn that He don't lie. God doesn't lie, and what He says will come to pass. You can take it to the bank. It is the absolute truth. Today we're going to look at Philip. You want to go to Acts chapter 8, verses 4. And here what we find in Philip, he's a man of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. We find that out because in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, Philip is one of the men that have been handpicked to do some service for the church. And Philip is one of them. And it says that as they were looking for these men for service, to help and serve, they must be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Men of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And so because of the persecution that was going out throughout, that was happening throughout Jerusalem, believers were scattered abroad. And as they were scattered all around, they began to preach about Jesus. And we find here in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, Philip was one of those Christians, Jesus lovers, Jesus Christ followers. Because of persecution, they scattered abroad to share Jesus. It says in verse 4, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Let me get the microphone here real quick. Verse 4, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Why do you think there was great joy in that city? Because there was a lot of miraculous things happen and lives were being changed. Philip, he's not one of the 12 disciples, but yet he was a believer of Jesus Christ who made himself available and chose to be used by God. He was a Christ follower, a Christian, doing what Christians ought to do. Let me say it again. Philip, he's a believer in Jesus Christ, Christ follower, a Christian, doing what Christians ought to do. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit gives us revelation of how we can apply your word to our life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. My first point, slide one, Joe, please. My first point, go to the next one. No, it should be slide one. Anyway, there's a slide that I have up there and it says, whoever, God will use whoever surrenders to his will and is available for his work. Whoever, if you will surrender to him, make yourself available for his ministry, his work, his purpose, his will, he's going to use you. Doesn't matter what side of the tracks you live on. Doesn't matter how your home life was. Doesn't matter how much of the Bible you know. If you're surrendered to him, he's going to use you. Can I ask you a question? Are you a whoever today? Are you a whoever today? So you're going to be like, I don't know. Am I? I hope you will be. You see, Philip preaches the good news of Jesus Christ. Not the good news according to Philip. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, behind this podium, we choose not to speak our own truth, our own ideas, or our own philosophy. We must and we will preach and teach God's word, what God's word says, and what the revelation of the Holy Spirit gives to us from God's word. We must speak God's truth. You know, God's word is living. It is the living word. Do you know that Jesus is the living word? He is the living word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Yeah.
I mean, that's sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, the word of God will cut you spiritually just as it will cut you physically. It'll bring you to tears if you allow it and if you're listening. Because it will reveal to you what the sin is in your life and what needs to change. It will reveal to you today if you're a whoever or a not whoever. You might be from Whoville, I don't know. But will you be a whoever? Lord, I am here. Whoever you want to use, God, I'm right here. Use me. Whatever you want to do, whoever you want to use, Lord, you can use me. Will you be a whoever today? You see, God's truth sets and makes people free. Jesus makes people free, doesn't he? Amen. Jesus makes people free. Jesus is the truth. You see, here Philip preaches Jesus and the crowds listen intently. They receive his words. Why? Because he's preaching Jesus. And then they witness the miracles done through him. Is it his power? No, it's God's power being used through a person who will be a whoever for Jesus. Will you be a whoever for Jesus? Miracles are happening. People are being delivered by evil spirits and people are healed. Listen, what Shannon was saying is true. What I was saying earlier was also true. The fact that revival is happening here in Samaria, and revival can be happening in your life if you'll be a whosoever. If you'll be a whoever. Lord, I am a whoever today, and whoever you want to use, God, use me. People's lives were changing for the glory of God. And I'm not sure about you if you want to change. You know, there are some people that they just say a prayer and they think, you know what, I'm good to go and I'll make it to heaven. They won't change. I'm not sure how you can consider yourself a Christ follower when you don't follow him and you just stay put and you just stay the same. You know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we ought to be changing. We ought to be growing. We ought to be knowing him in a deeper and a more intimate way, in a more personal way. You know, the Spirit's leading me to say this. And of course, Shannon was talking about this also, just in what she was saying about revival happening. You know, I want to encourage you on Wednesday nights. Now, I'm not sure what your schedule is the next day or how many people need beauty sleep and how many people you just get home and it's just enough time to have dinner and put dinner on the table. But can I challenge you in the next 4 weeks? Can I challenge you to come to church on Wednesday? We were studying last year of 1 Samuel. And then we were going to begin the new year starting with 2 Samuel. And the Lord led us to start teaching the minor prophets. And actually, the Lord was just leading us. And the Lord was speaking to Shannon because it was her turn to speak. And the Lord was putting Amos on her heart to begin to teach. And just in the fact of just that, it was like, God, you know what you're doing. But last Wednesday, it was a part about this guy named Amos. He's a sheep breeder. Everybody say sheep breeder. All right. So, you know, you may not have ever, you know, handled sheep before. But what I'm trying to point out is you might be working on machines. You might be in retail. You might be in food service. You might be working in the military. You might be working for people, difficult and not so difficult people. But the thing is that God will use whoever. And this guy, Amos, who's a sheep breeder, say sheep breeder. All right. Hopefully later on you'll go on to Google and find out what do sheep breeders do. They breed sheep. And so but he's a sheep breeder. Yet God used him to speak to God's people, to tell them, stop doing the religious things you normally do. Just come to me and repent. You know, revival happens when you repent, when you surrender and you say, God, I'll be a whoever for you. I'm surrendering and I'll be a whoever for you. When God reveals that there's something in your life that must change and you surrender and you repent, changes will soon happen and God will do those changes. Our lives should be moving forward closer to God. We should recognize that our life in Christ, full of God's Spirit, should be different than it was before. By the new life that we have in Christ, we also have a new way to live, a new way to love, a new way to serve. No longer to live in the flesh, because that's going to produce selfishness. No longer to love ourselves, that's just going to produce lust. No longer serve self, because that's going to produce pride. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Let me share this with you in real simple. You live according to the flesh, you will find death. It'll hit you right smack in the forehead. You live according to the Spirit of God, you will find life and peace. We are to live a new life, for we have become new people with a new purpose in life. And this is what Philip was preaching about Jesus, who gives new life because he died for us, and that he paid the price for our sin. And that if we accept him, we'll have new eternal life. We'll have new life in him. Go to the slide with the footprints. Please, Joe. Thank you. Where can you find footprints like that? Anybody know? Boot camp. United States Marine Corps in San Diego, California, or in Paris Island, South Carolina. That was the first time I saw yellow footprints like that. And they picked us up from the airport. They threw us on a bus, not literally, but they threw us in a bus. And when we got to the bus, they told us to put our heads down by our knees so that we couldn't see, I guess, the sights and you know, the place of San Diego. And they took us to United States Marine Corps Recruiting Depot, San Diego, California. And so when we got there, they didn't just quietly say, "Hey, okay, guys, can you guys come off the bus now, please? Grab your belongings, and when you find yellow footprints, just stand up." No, no, they yelled, okay? They just started yelling from the get-go. And so when we got our stuff, we put our stuff down, and then we had to stand on these yellow footprints, just like you see up there. When I stepped on those footprints, I didn't know what I was, well, I kind of had an idea, but I didn't know for sure what I was getting myself into. Will I make it to graduation? Will I actually get there? Will I actually become a Marine? I don't know. I didn't know. When I stepped on those footprints, of course, a lot of guys were like, "I should have never come. I should have listened to my mom." But anyway, out of 70 young men that I know of, three of them didn't graduate with us. One of them hurt himself, and of course the scuttlebutt or the rumor was he hurt himself because he wanted to go home. Two guys, they ended up stating that they wanted to take their life. One, again, the scuttlebutt was he actually tried to do something. The other one, it was just verbal, and they sent them what we call the wizard, was a psychiatrist, and so to kind of just make sure that, okay, is this really what you want to do? But when we stepped on those footprints, we did not know exactly to the T what was going to happen. We just knew we started on this journey of becoming a United States Marine. We knew that there were going to be a lot of changes. Of course, our hair. We knew that there were going to be a lot of challenges, getting up every morning and running 2 to 3 miles. All the yelling. We've seen, you know, videos about what happens at boot camp. But I didn't know for sure what would happen. But when I stepped on those footprints, even though I didn't see the day that I graduated, even though that I didn't see that I would, I kind of boast on this a little bit, but I scored a perfect PFT. Wouldn't be able to do that now. But I scored a perfect PFT of 300 points. And then the fact of just the honor to serve. I didn't know that when I stepped on those steps. But because I stepped on those steps, it began a journey. You see, when we come to Jesus Christ, we're going to start this journey, and it's going to be a whole lot better than my journey in boot camp and in my life as a Marine. I mean, this is going to be a whole lot better because this will last for all of eternity. That I begin this relationship with my Savior, the one who died for me, the one who loved me so much that even though he knew that I would sin, yet he still died for me. The next slide with my certification certificates. The one on the left is my license to preach. And the one on my right, is the certificate of ordination with the Assemblies of God. You see, when I began to study for my ministerial credentials, I didn't know what would happen. How long will it take me to finish? Will I even finish? Will I fail my test and be one of those people that didn't pass his ordination test and had to take it, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times? We can't allow fear, like I said a couple weeks ago, to interfere with what God wants to do in us. We're here in this room. God is meeting with us. His Holy Spirit is here. And you cannot allow fear to interfere with what God has a plan for you. He does have a plan. He does have a purpose. And the more that you stay surrendered, submitted to his will, God, I'll be whoever for you. The more you'll learn that when you began those steps, you'll continue to become the person that God wants and created for you to be. How many of you have seen a difference in your walk with God since last year? Anybody? All right, for those of you that aren't raising your hand, let me encourage you. There's prayer. We can pray for you. And I don't say that to be funny, but I want you to ask yourself, why don't I see change in myself since last year? What's the reason? What am I not applying to my life? Why am I not growing? Why is my prayer, faltering? God, forgive me. Here we go. Here we go. Do something about it. God, forgive me and help me to seek you more. How many of you have taken the initiative and applied God's word to your life? You know what? You'll change if you do that. Stop intending to do what's right and just get right down to it and begin to do it. Stop. Well, I have this intention. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Don't do it tomorrow. Do it today. Do it now. To repent, surrender, and allow him to change you to become that person he wants you to become. The next slide, whatever. Of course, we've used that whatever. Whatever God can use, he will use. God can and will use you to do whatever is in his plan. Now, how do I know that it is God's plan or course of action, Pastor? I'm not sure. How do I know? Well, what did he say to you? Has he created an opportunity for you to move? Does this, crossroads, does this bring confusion or peace? Listen, you ought to be applying these questions to you when you're having to make a decision in your life. Does it bring confusion or does it bring peace? You see, God is not the God of confusion. And if Jesus Christ is our Prince of Peace, then God is the God of peace. He's not the God of confusion. Since learning his voice, I'm not there yet where I know exactly every time I hear something, I know exactly. But you know what? I'm learning his voice. And since I've been learning his voice, I'm learning to decipher God's instruction or self-justifying self. I wonder if you've gotten there yet. If you haven't, keep striving, keep pressing forward to understand and know when it's God's instruction or self-justifying self. But I got this confusion. God, I don't know if this is you. I don't know if this is me. Pray about it. You see, because there is a battle between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and self-justification. Self-justifying self. Conviction of Holy Spirit will come because you're not obeying God's instruction. You're fighting with what God said. You're fighting with what God says in his word. You're fighting against what the Spirit is saying for you to do. Self-justification will come when we react based on selfishness. Have you ever said this to yourself? God, that's not fair. God, what about me? I deserve this. I need this now. It needs to happen now. It happened to them, God. Now, why not me? Don't try to justify things. Try to decipher if it's God's instruction. Go to him. What has he said? Well, he said this at one time. Well, has he said anything else yet? No. Then stick with what he said the last time and hold on to it and wait and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you again, not self. Because self, I tell you what, myself, it'll try to justify and it'll try to point out some things and say, well, Rick, it's high time that you need to go get that, what you really wanted. I mean, seriously. You know, Rick, it's about time. You deserve it. Yeah, you deserve it. And a lot of times I'm like, okay, God, do I really deserve it? No, I don't really. Do I really need it? No, I don't really need it. Unless God pressed it upon my heart. And again, learning to decipher his voice when he says, I want you to have it, son. I tell you what, I'm waiting for a lot of things for God to say, I want you to have it, son. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. We're not going to go there. I just want to show the fact that there's a man by the name of Simon. He heard and saw what God was doing through Philip. And he's like, man, I want that. I want what Philip has. Then he saw what the other disciples had, and he wanted that. That is until he was rebuked because he wanted to pay for it. And that's the wrong intention. The wrong reason of why to have what God has for us. To have it because so-and-so has it? No. To have it because, God, if you want to use me, you can use me. And God, however you want to use me, whatever way possible, God, then use me. You see, Philip was a whoever, and he allowed God to do whatever in his life. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. You see, because an angel spoke to Philip. And the angel gave Philip instructions, the angel of the Lord. And let's find out what Philip does. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. There's our answer. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem, listen, to worship. This guy was a believer. He came to Jerusalem to worship God. And he was returning, sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. I'm like, Lord, was this the first carjacking? No, he didn't carjack. He just went near to kind of just, and when you read the rest of that chapter, which we're not going to get into, but you'll find out that Philip places himself where God wants him to be. Again, Philip places himself where God wants him to be, and God uses and does whatever with Philip because he's making himself available. So what did Philip do? He arose and went. A lot of us, we don't arise and go because of fear. We don't arise and go because we are too hard on ourselves and, oh, I can't ever do it. Who's calling you? Is God calling you? Yes. You know, it's one of our prayers on our church prayer list. I'm not sure if this is sinking in, but every now and then as the Lord brings it to my attention, I got to bring up this church prayer list because it's not just typed up and printed out and just so that a small number of people pick it up and pray. This is something that your pastors are praying for, and we ask that you agree with us in prayer. But one of the things that we pray about for this church is that God's people would make faithful church attendance, prayer, and the study of God's word a priority in your life. Why? Why are we praying that it becomes a priority in your life? So that you can remain humble and willing and available for God to use you. That you will be the whoever, that whatever God asks for you to do, you will arise and go. We also pray that God will call people into the ministry. And when God is calling us to do something for the work of the ministry, we are to remain humble and available for Him. Yeah. What happens? Fear gets in the way. What happens? Self gets in the way and we miss out. Don't miss out. Say, God, help me not to miss out. So are you willing? Are you ready to arise and go? I pray that you are. Let us take out our compasses and maintain our true north so that we will learn to arise and go when the Spirit leads, when God leads. Philip was a man who believed in Christ, willing to go and reveal a message, not his message, but Christ's message. Again, Philip was just a Christian doing what Christians ought to do. At this time, God desired to use him to do great things in Samaria. A lot of things were going on in Samaria. We read in verses 4 through 8. People were being healed. People who were possessed with demons were being delivered. People were listening to what Philip was preaching, teaching Jesus, and they received it and they believed it. Revival was happening. And then God told him to get up and leave. That would have been difficult. It's kind of like, you know, this church, we end up having 500 people and revivals going on. Then all of a sudden, God tells me and Shannon, hey, it's time for you guys to go. I got a church for you guys to go and pastor in some other place. That'd be really hard. Hard to leave all of you, but hard to leave in a moment where God is truly moving and people's lives are being changed. I mean, isn't that why Jesus came? So that people's lives would be changed? So that people would be redeemed back to the Father, so that people would have His righteousness, being able to enter into the kingdom of God. Because without Jesus, we're destined for hell without Jesus. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But I need to be ready to go. You need to be ready when God calls you. So be ready. Be available. So God used Philip. Because Philip was faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he went to share it. Philip was faithful to the Father in ministry. He spoke and touched others in miracles and healings. He arose and went to go speak to just one. And you know, when the angel told Philip to get up and go and to go down this road, the angel didn't tell him how many people or exactly what he was going to do, did he? The angel wasn't specific in what Philip was going to do. How many of us would love for God to give us the specifics? But he doesn't. I would have loved to have seen just my life flash before me the moment I stepped on those, you know, footprints. A lot of those guys would have never have gone on that bus if that happened. They would have never have gone on that bus. But with God, man, he is searching and looking for people who will be whoever and will do whatever he asks of them, even if it's just for one. How many of you will miss out on this? I hope none of you. But if you will, it's because you will allow fear and complacency and religion to set in. What? Pastor, why do you say that? There is so much evidence in our world today that many people say they know God, but they don't really know God, let alone live for him. Oh, I know God. Well, let's look at your life. Oh, well, you know, I live for God on Sundays. How can we say we are Christ followers when we're only affected by him on one day of the week? Listen, when there is apathy toward evangelism, apathy toward prayer, apathy toward living spirit-filled lives, you will find religion, not Christianity. A preacher once said that people can be true. It can be a true saying that they'll say they love people but don't love God. There's a lot of people in our world like that, and that's a true saying. But it can never be true when someone says, I love God, but I don't love people. Your actions speak louder than your words. So you might say, well, I've never said that. Well, your actions do. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested to us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him, through Jesus. In this is love. In what? In living through Jesus is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. And it's a long word, but it means full payment of our sins, to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to what? Love one another. To know God is to know true love. To receive his love is to receive true love. To live out his love is to live out true love. This is why God sent those who know him and surrendered to him to do his work, to do whatever it was to reach those who are lost. What are we missing out on today? I hope we're not missing out on Christ. I hope we're not missing out on this love. I hope we're not missing out on the calling that he has for your life. Listen, he may not call you to pastor a church, but he's calling you where you work, where you live, in the house that you live, and in the neighborhood that you live. He's calling you. He's calling you that the love that he's poured in your heart, Romans 5, chapter 5. God's love has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God is calling you to share that love. And if you call yourself a Christian, you ought to walk in his steps. Our steps, if they are led by God's Holy Spirit, must be taken in faith that he who loves us, he who died for us, he who's given us new life has also called us to do his will. That can only be done as we walk in his steps. He is leading us, therefore we must follow. With God, we have footprints laid out before us, yet his footprints are of more value and with eternal purpose and reward. Steps to take with the assurance that God is leading. God is with us and God empowers us. How can we say that Jesus is our Savior and then settle with just knowing him and just knowing him on Sunday morning or just knowing him but not being used by him? What kind of Christianity is that? What a mistake that Philip would have made if he chose to seek his life above the necessity of sharing Christ. The people in Samaria wouldn't have heard about Jesus. That Ethiopian eunuch on his way back would not have been met by a man to explain the gospel or to explain the book of Isaiah to him. That man would not have been baptized in water by Philip, and he would not have been a part of a great miracle if Philip chose not to be used for God. What mistake are you making today? I pray that you won't make the mistake of not choosing to do God's will. I pray that you'll surrender and commit and say, God, I'll be your whoever. God, I'll make sure that I'm available to do whatever. Paul shares with us, and I finish with this, because in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 11, Paul shares with us that he wants to know Jesus in such a way that it seems an excellent idea to fully know him. He says in verse 8, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, rubbish, so that I could gain Christ. Listen to what he said, gain Christ. That gain is always gaining, always moving forward, always wanting more of Christ. Verse 9, and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. As these altar call videos are played, I just want to encourage you, take this time to repent. Take this time to surrender. Take this time to apply God's word to your life today, that you won't make the mistake of missing out what he has for you. Believe with us this year for new believers in Christ. Believe with us this year that believers filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit shall be filled. Believe with us that miracles will happen, not because we're looking for miracles, but it will happen because we're looking to our God. And we're keeping our focus on him, maintaining our true north.